You're listening to the podcast of First Assembly Church. For more information, check us out at firstassemblychurch.org.
Well, tonight, I want to share with you, we're talking about breakthrough prayer. And like I said, I love Wednesday night. Prayer is one of the most, it is the most vital tool that you and I have. We have such an incredible thing, and it's interesting when we talk about prayer, and really this idea of how do we pray for breakthrough? How do we pray and get a hold of God to say, Lord, I need a breakthrough in my life? Because when we pray, we should be seeing breakthrough. When we pray, we should be seeing God show up and do things. And sometimes we think, well, if I only had the right words to say, it has nothing to do with the words that we say. If I only had the, you know, maybe God doesn't love me as much as he loves the other person, it has nothing to do with that. I think it has everything to do with where our heart's at. Everything to do with what, lining our will up with God's will. Really, that's what the most important thing, and I think the most important thing we can see in our prayer time is, Lord, line my will up with your will. Because I've even heard some people say, well, why do we need to pray? God already knows. He does already know. But the power in prayer is when we line ourselves up to where God's already at. And as we pray, there's a supernatural thing that happens that we line up our will with God's will. And I think that's where we see breakthrough. Tonight I want to talk to you about breaking through to fruitfulness. And I want to give you a little bit of heads up, because a message like this, if you've been in church for any amount of time, you go, well, I already know this. I'm good. But I want to challenge us, because this message tonight is vital to the Christian walk. There is nothing, I think, more important than what we're going to talk about tonight. A breakthrough to fruitfulness. To see fruitfulness in our lives. What does that look like? And I want to challenge, because there's so much of a chance to sit here and go, well, I'm good. I know somebody else who's not fruitful, but I'm good. And I want to challenge every one of us to take a moment and say, God, what are you saying to me about this? And I don't care whether you've been in church for 5 minutes or 20 years. It's a question we have to continually ask ourselves. What kind of fruit is coming out of my life? What kind of fruit is coming out of my life? And I've said it before, but does my fruit stink? Does the fruit of my life stink? Or does it give off a fragrance of you, Lord? What kind of fruit is coming out of my life? And it got really quiet. But I think it's so important to look at it. Some people think, well, once I become a Christian, I'm good to go from that point forward. Once you become a Christian, you're just getting started. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle of fruitfulness. It's a lifestyle of saying, Jesus, I want to be more like you from the moment I accept you into my heart to the moment I put my head in the grave. I want to be more like you. I want your fragrance to come off of my life. There are things that we are commanded to do as believers. It has nothing to do with your salvation, but has everything to do with being obedient. One of the things in the Christian life, and if somebody was to say that I got saved and nothing changed, I got saved and everything's the same, you did not get saved. You were not converted. Because conversion means a lifestyle change. Conversion means that you're a different person from the inside out. You can do all of the things perfect when you get converted. You can go, I do this and I do that. But if you don't change as a person from the inside out, I would wonder if you've been converted. I would wonder if you have Jesus working in your life. If you're still as mean after you got saved as you were before. I'm just saying, it got really quiet. It's true. And see, I think in the Christian world that we live in today, we've gotten okay with no life transformation. We've gotten okay with people not changing. They come to the church week after week after week, and Jesus doesn't change them. The power of the gospel changes our lives. The power of the gospel changes who we are, changes our personality, changes our thought patterns, changes who we are. Is it an instantaneous change? It takes time. But every day you move further and further and closer, further from your old life and closer to Jesus. And you work in that process of being sanctified. We've talked about that. Prayer should change us. It should change how we respond, how we live, and how we act. People should notice. Every believer has been called. Listen, every believer, everyone who says, I love Jesus and I'm a Christ follower, should have the fruit to show that in their life. Fruit should be coming out of your life. People should be able to tell it. They should be able to look at you and go, listen, I know you love Jesus. Doesn't mean we're not going to make mistakes. There are times when we make mistakes. There are times that we go back to our old selves for a moment, okay? But for the most part, it's, Lord, help me to bear good fruit. Help me to bear the kind of fruit that you are asking me. And I think we have to ask that question. What kind of fruit am I bearing in my life? What do people see when they look at my life? You know, I hear this all the time. Well, you can't judge me. As believers, you know, we are called to look at each other's fruit. We are. We're fruit inspectors right over here. And it's okay to look at your brother and sister and go, that's not the kind of fruit that Jesus calls us to have in love. But that statement, and that's something the world uses to literally protect them from any kind of input in their life. Well, you can't judge me. I'm not judging you. I'm just saying that's what the fruit looks like. Got quiet, but it's so true. What kind of fruit am I bearing in my life? What do people see when they look at my life? Can people tell by how I act and live that I'm a Christ follower? These are the challenging questions, but the heart of Psalms 92, 12 through 14, and I want to read it. The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like the cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. They are full of sap and green. It's an incredible scripture when you break it down and you think about it. What a challenging scripture. People who are right standing before God grow. As they stand before and they're in his presence, they grow. They're planted in God's house. To be honest, in America, we have a problem being planted in God's house. Because the minute we don't like something, there's a group of people that will just get up and leave and go to the next best meal deal in the church world. We have a problem being planted. And you know what? I'm telling you, if God calls you to a place, plant, grow down deep, grow roots there, because life can change. The life they bear fruit and all their life and are always there fresh and they're life-giving people that live according to the scripture. There, you know, when you've been around somebody that's fresh and life-giving because you feel it. You feel it. You're like, man, I want to be around this person more. Every one of us should have that kind of attribute coming out of our life. That's the fruit of the Spirit. That's the fruit of what we're talking about. No matter what your stage in life, you should always be fresh and life-giving. That's what the sap and the green means. It means that when you cut into an old tree, you can still find the lifeblood and you can still find the green and you can still find the things. Just because we age doesn't take us out of this growing perspective that we read about in Scripture. There's another question I think every believer has to ask themselves. Am I a consumer in the kingdom or am I a producer? A consumer in the kingdom sits and takes and takes and takes and takes. You hear things like, well, I need to be fed and I need this and I need that. And I'm not sure I quite like that kind of music. Or you just hear all of this consumeristic mentality. And I can tell you, a church full of consumers will never accomplish the kingdom assignment that we have. It's when we become producers. It's when we say, it's not about me. It's about the kingdom. It's not about my preference. It's not about anything except for the kingdom and me producing fruit. Everybody with me? Good. I heard half of you, so hopefully by the end I've got the other half. So what are we commanded to do? There are some commandments that I don't think we realize are commandments. Some of us do, but I think as a whole, if you were to look at the Christian world today, we don't realize these are commandments, and they are probably the most important commandments that we read about in Scripture. Key number one, and I want to share you some keys and some commandments. We are commanded to grow. That's what Scripture tells us. Jesus said, grow. You will grow. You've got to grow. You can only be fruitful if you're growing spiritually. Spiritual growth does not equate to the amount of time that you've been saved or that you've even sat in a church pew. Sadly, many believers stop growing early on in their walk with the Lord. Do you know the average Christian believer in a study that was done, the average stopped growing at 7.5 years in. So they'd been saved for 7.5 years and that's where the growth stopped. If they were not very specific, very strategic to continue growing. to continue staying fresh every day. Lord, help me. That's why a message like this, I think, needs to be talked about. It's a challenge for every one of us, because every day we go and every day we're more separated from the God and we stop growing is a day that we become more spiritually stale. And if the enemy can get us on the back burner, thinking that we're saved, thinking that we're doing the right thing with no fruit coming out of our life, he's won. It's exactly what he wants. As believers, you can never stop growing. Salvation is only the beginning. That's what discipleship is. That the salvation point, when you walk down the aisle, that's the point where your life is transformed supernaturally, but it's the beginning of spiritual growth. And something we are focused on, laser light this next year, is discipleship and spiritual growth across the board in our church. We are going to be focused, if no matter from birth to grave, we want you to be growing. We want you to be learning more about Jesus. We want you to experience his new mercies every day. Listen, what child would be satisfied stopping growing at 7.5 years old? Think about that for a minute. When you're 7.5, all you want to do is grow up. All you want to do is get bigger. All you want to do is get your driver's license. If you've had a 7.5-year-old, you know what I'm talking about. So why is it any different in our spiritual walk that we sit there and we're okay with stopping? We're okay with that portion of not growing anymore. Growing like the cedars of Lebanon is a great analogy for spiritual growth. Palm trees are known for a long life. Listen, the key to a long Christian life is being discipled and continuing to grow. That is a key to growing and learning more about all that God has. We should have such a hunger for growth to know more about who he is. It shouldn't wane as we walk with Jesus more. It should grow. He has so much more than what you've ever experienced up to this point. You might think, well, I know all there is to know about Christ. No, you don't. God has more. But it's us running after him and saying, God, help us. Growing like the cedar of Lebanon. Why would the author of the Psalms use this analogy? The cedars of Lebanon were known, and the palm trees were known for their long life. They would grow. The cedars would grow to 120 feet in height and be up to 30 feet in circumference. They were solid. They were strong. They were immovable. And I can tell you this, one of the things about spiritual maturity and to know that you're spiritually and you're headed in that direction is when the enemy throws you a curveball, are you strong? Are you immovable? Are you there saying, I'm rooted. Nothing is going to move me off my love for Jesus. And there are times that curveballs get thrown your way. And there are times that, man, all of a sudden the enemy opens up the gates of hell on your family and you're going, I will not be moved because I know Jesus. Here are some other interesting facts about the cedars of Lebanon. Their growth was very slow. Growth would happen throughout the whole time of that tree. Spiritual growth is a slow process. It doesn't mean you're going to just wake up one day and go, I've arrived. It's a slow process. God wants to, and slow processes in America, we don't like. If it's slow, we replace it. If it's slow, we get frustrated. If the burger takes more than 2 minutes to get out, we get mad. Right? I mean, like, it's just that way in America. Growth is slow. It's us getting into God's word. And I think that's the danger of what we're talking about, because it is slow, that sometimes we give up on it. Sometimes we say, man, this is too much work. It is work serving the King. And if anybody tries to convince you otherwise, you're missing out on the message of the gospel. Because there's a lot of people trying to tell us, well, it's an easy gospel. It's all about his grace. It's easy. And my question is, is there life transformation? Life transformation is tough. It's tough. It's tough to admit it. It's tough to be in that spot. But it's what works. Everybody with me? Another interesting thing is these trees require a great deal of light to grow. You and I, we need a lot of Jesus to grow. The light of the world. We need that light. The more time we spend in his presence, the more we grow. Another thing, they need over 40 inches of rain every year to grow. They are thirsty trees. I go, are we thirsty for the presence of God? Are we thirsty? Are we needing that kind of rain, the Holy Spirit rain in our lives? The circumstances needed to be just right to grow. It's such a great picture of what we need. It's interesting, the prophet Hosea echoed in Psalms 92. He echoed Psalms 92 in Hosea 14, 5 through 6, when he wrote, "I will be like the dew of Israel. He shall blossom like the lily. He shall take the root like the trees of Lebanon. His shoots shall spread out. His beauty shall be like the olive and his fragrance what like Lebanon." And I love this. Another great picture. Prophet Hosea was saying, this is what our lives need to look like. As believers, as Jesus lovers, this is what our lives need to look like. Our Christian life should be blossoming. We should not be dying. We should be blossoming. And listen, blossoming has nothing to do with your circumstances. You can grow. There are flowers, and I don't know what they are because I have no idea about flowers, but I know there's flowers that grow in the desert in the harshest of climates. Cactus, thank you. I have no idea, but yeah, I agree. I think it sounds good. I'm not a is it a horticologist? Or I don't know what they're called. Whatever deals with plants, I'm not sure. A botanist, there you go. That's good. But it's not a lesson on that. Our Christian life should be blossoming. Our roots should go down deep. We should be deep and wide as believers. We shouldn't be deep and shallow. We should be deep and wide. A deep well as believers. One little thing should not knock you out. One little thing the enemy throws at you. Deep and wide. Remember, how many of you remember that song that we sang in children's, in kids' church? Deep and wide. Now, there's a reason we didn't say shallow and long. That would be horrible. Shallow and short. There you go. Thanks for helping me tonight. I need it. Our lives should be a beautiful representation of Jesus that people can look at. And as they look at us, they should see a beautiful representation of Jesus. We become Jesus with skin on to the world. How do we become Jesus with skin on? When our lives are fruitful. When the fragrance of God is pouring out of our lives. It only happens when we're growing. The goal of spiritual growth is that we should be bearing fruit. We should be growing. Key number two, we're commanded to bear fruit. As believers, every one of us, we are commanded to bear fruit. The Lord is concerned with every person bearing fruit in their lives. Every person in this room. God is concerned. What kind of fruit is coming out of your life? And listen, I feel so bad about myself because I made that. No, this is a fresh start where you go, Lord, help me to have the kind of fruit that you're asking me to have. Help me to show. Fruitfulness is the only evidence that someone is a genuine Christian. Having fruitfulness. The evidence of faith doesn't consist of what you claim with your lips, your membership at a particular church, or the creed that you adopt. Jim Cimbala says it well. Walking into a church doesn't make you a Christian any more than walking into a garage makes you a car. Think about that. Or I could say that about the gym. Just walking in and looking at the stuff doesn't make you a gymnast. I don't know. Anyways, Colossians 1:10 tells us, so as you walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. I love that statement, walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. That's not just a figure of speech. It's every day when we walk. And I think it's that kind of a dynamic question that we have to ask ourselves every morning when we get up. Lord, am I walking in a way that's worthy of you? And I love this. And it's you see the whole thing. Don't you love to please a God who loves you? Don't you? That love relationship to know that you're pleasing Him with your life. There's something that goes beyond just being forced to do it, isn't it? There's something to say, God, you love me so much. I want to love you back. I want to please you. Bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of the Lord. What did Paul mean when he said that? He simply meant that we should grow in grace and bear fruit to the glory of God. That's what that statement is saying. It's easy to get it wrapped up in doing. Some of us will listen and we'll go, well, I guess I have to do. And we look at the do stuff and we sometimes forget, this is not about doing, this is about being. Everything else flows out of who you are. And so don't get overwhelmed with the doing part. Because some of us, we look at it, well, I can do this and I can do that. And really what we need is to be with Jesus and let him change who we are. The being part, who we are to the core, and say, Jesus, change me. And always, again, like I said, what comes out when we get squeezed is a good idea of what's down inside. And so looking at that, saying, God, help me. It's not about doing. It's not about being the Volunteer of the Year Award in the outreach ministry. Okay? It's not about the more I can do for the kingdom. How about, Jesus, help me to be more like you. Help me to be more like you. It's a being thing. And it's spending time in his presence. Bearing spiritual fruit in our lives is the breakthrough that Jesus is looking for. And as we pray and as we get closer to him, that's where the breakthrough and tying it to prayer becomes. Because we go, Lord, change me. Jesus, in our prayer time, change me from the inside out. Do what only you can do. Because if we're relying on our own power, we're going to be like we've always been. But when we say, Holy Spirit, come in and change me. Come in. And there are times where maybe the walk has been so good and you get a little sideways and Jesus needs to come in and say, listen, your fruit is stinking a little bit and we need to let him do it. We need to let him just come in and take inventory of our lives and listen to that conviction and say, Jesus, and I think this is where we get, Jesus, if there's anything in my life that's coming out that's not of you, convict me, show me, help me to know at that moment so I can change the fruit that's coming out of my life. Only a spirit at work in our lives can produce the godly character he desires. So there's a tie into that because if we're not on our knees, we're not spending time with him, we're not going to have the fruit that he tells us to have in our lives. And I think it goes back to that important thing. If you want to know what you do with this, you go home and get on your knees and say, Jesus, help me. Isn't it? And to me, that's freeing because it's not, well, go, you try to fix it on your own. It's, Jesus, help me to become more like you. Help me. The thing is every one of us sitting in the chairs tonight, every one of us that call ourselves Christ followers needs to have fruit in our lives. Only his spirit at work in our lives. A lack of spiritual fruit, if you don't have spiritual fruit, it's a serious matter to God. Why? Because the fruit we're bearing is a picture of what's happening in our hearts and in our spiritual walk. I think there's believers that need to get 100% serious and passionate about their walk with the Lord today. And say, listen, this changes tonight. I am going to get on fire. I'm going to get passionate. And it's not about an emotion. It's not about getting I got the shivers because I said that. No, it's about saying, Jesus, take me deeper. Take me deeper. Help me to know you better. Help me change the things. There's things in our lives that, like, if you're walking around with brokenness, what kind of fruit do you think is going to be coming out? Brokenness. Jesus wants to heal you all the way through so that fruit can live. That fruit can be who God has called you to be. It gives a person a glimpse into what's actually happening on the inside of a person when you look at the fruit. A lack of spiritual fruit in Christians, I think, is a large reason why the world looks at the church and says, you guys are hypocrites. You don't live what you say. We can easily say it, but if we're not living it, they're looking for us to live it. What kind of fruit is coming out of our lives? What kind of fruit is coming out of your life? And I'm talking at the grocery store. When somebody runs over the back of your heels with a cart, what kind of fruit is going to come out of your life? I'm talking about when you get hit by one of those ladies on the carts driving around in the grocery. I mean, it could be men too. I don't know. I'm not going to get into that argument. What happens when that person cuts you off? Missouri drivers are crazy. Craziest in the nation. I'm telling you that. And I love it because I'm like that too. So it's kind of like, let's go. I mean, it's like bumper. What do you do? Stand? No, you get right in and go. I was in New York City a couple weeks ago driving down through Manhattan. I mean, I was like in heaven. It was awesome. Anyways, I didn't even get mad. It was great. But I think the world needs to see that we are who we say we are. We are who we say we are. The lack of bearing fruit is the reason Israel was rejected by God and driven from the promised land. How many promised lands are we missing in our lives because the fruit isn't there? As a church, Do we want to miss out on the promised land of what God has for us because we're not living with the fruit that Jesus tells us to live with? Look at Hosea 9:16. Ephraim, Israel is blighted. Their root is withered. They yield no fruit. Is your root withered? Matthew 7:16 through 20 gives us another picture of people not bearing fruit. You will recognize them by their fruit. Are there grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. This is talking about false prophets, but it's also a universal principle that we read about in Scripture. To me, I read that and I go, Lord, it's a command that I bear good fruit. And if I'm bearing bad fruit, there's a diseased fruit inside of me, show me what it is. Because Jesus, I want to bear good fruit. I want to bear your kind of fruit. The most important question we have to ask is this, am I bearing good fruit? And tonight Jesus wants to help you break through. It's not too late. But if there's some fruit in your life that you're going, Lord, help me. The last key number three is, what should the fruit in our life look like? What should we be bearing? What does a fruitful life look like? What is the fruit that pleases and glorifies the Lord? Spiritual fruit never comes from us. It's a product of the grace of God working inside us. That's why it's so important to be connected to God in prayer and His Word. And we find it in Galatians 5:22 through 23. And many of us, we have read this so many times. We're like, oh, that's such a nice, I like fruit, man, it's so good. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Only the Holy Spirit can produce the fruitful living God requires. The Bible says that the Spirit lives inside every true Christian and stands ready to make us a display window for the beauty of Christ. Lord, help me. As people look into the display of my life, help me to show your beauty. Help me to show who you are. I think we have to remember what the most important fruit is. The absolute most important fruit and evidence of Jesus in our life is love. Loving each other, loving our brothers, loving our sisters, loving the world. What does loving mean? It means keeping short accounts. It means wrapping our arms around people who are hurting. It means loving others. It's a verb. And I can tell you the most important thing that we can do as believers is love each other. That is why we're here. We're to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and love our neighbor as ourself. Preferences should never cause us not to love somebody. We should love. We should look past. Do you know how you look past people that drive you crazy? And look past people that want to cause conflict in your life? Look past it and realize who's behind them. We know we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You are not wrestling the person in front of you. You are wrestling the enemy. And how many times do we take it out on each other when we should get on our knees together and say, this is not about us. I'm sorry I hurt your feelings. I'm sorry that this happened, but now we're going to get on our knees together and we're going after the enemy. I'm serious. How many times do we spend so much time mad at each other, offended? Like, seriously, America is the most offended nation in the world. Get over it. I'm so offended. Well, great. Okay. Get over it. I mean, like, what? All over Facebook, what was it about being offended? I mean, it was like all over. Like, America's offended all the time. If you're around people, you're going to be offended. I mean, like, that's what it is. That doesn't neglect. Your right to be offended does not overshadow the command to love. Get over it. Sorry. I'm just saying. I mean, we got to get over it. Do you know that some Bible commentators, when they're looking at this scripture, they believe that love is the only fruit of the Spirit and everything else is a characteristic of love. I mean, listen to that for just a minute. Love. Love. Love one another. Without love, nothing else matters. You can be the most proficient Bible teacher in the world. You can know every scripture back and front, and if you don't love, it doesn't matter. It's like a sounding whatever, clanging cymbal, exactly, if I can talk tonight. Thank you. I'm needing it. You can volunteer in every outreach and be here every time the doors are open and be the biggest giver in the church. If you don't have love, none of that matters. And I'm so serious. I just go, the world needs us to love them so much. The world needs us to love each other, love our families. Even the most difficult sacrifices are nothing if they're not made with love. Listen, 1 Corinthians 13:3, if I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but I have not love, I gain nothing. Because God is love, the most prominent character trait of a Christian should be love. Churches, listen, churches that bear the name Christian should be places of acceptance, mercy, and grace, or we need to take it off our doors. We need to take it off. We're not living up to our name. Might as well put on the church social club. But don't call it a Christian place if there's not acceptance, mercy, and grace. The Apostle John clearly used love as the test to distinguish true from the counterfeit. 1 John 4:7-8. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God, and whoever love has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. What an incredibly bold statement. People who don't love others cannot know God, no matter what religious heritage you claim. The sign of God's presence in our life is love. Everything else is secondary. A life of little equates to a small understanding. Oh, sorry. A life of little love equates to a small understanding of God. Because when you know God, you know He's love. Doesn't mean we accept everything that comes along, but we love the person. And there's something to be said about that. Listen, then I'll kind of end it with this. It's easy to love people we like. It's easy to love people who are like us. It's easy to love the people that we think, man, that is a cool person. But that covers even the people that drive us crazy. Even the people that maybe you have a beef with. Listen, there should not be one person walking the other side of the hall in this church to try to avoid somebody because they're mad at them. Oh, I just said it. Because if I find out, I'll pull you guys together and we'll go, let's have a talk. Do not avoid people because you're mad at them. Sit down and figure it out. You know what? We're letting the enemy win when we're mad at each other. It is too short. I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying. We have to love the people that drive us crazy and are the hard ones to love. Make it, even at your work, if there's somebody that drives you crazy, your goal is to love them. Pour it out. If there's a kid at school that you don't want to sit by and nobody sits by, go sit by them. Love on them. That's what we're talking about. And this world is so absent of love. We have to make sure that we don't get caught up on majoring on the minors in our Christian lives, looking at what somebody looks like or how they come across. We have to love each other. Doesn't mean we won't make each other mad, but that's why we love and we work it through. Anybody that doesn't work it through, you're not given a chance for God to work. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you and I love this congregation so much. Lord, help us to know what it means about fruit. Lord, in our lives, God, I pray that tonight across this room, Lord, you speak to us. Lord, help us to be such a beautiful picture of your love and your grace and your mercy. Lord, the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Father, I just pray, God, that every one of us, every person who can hear my voice tonight would take a moment out to take a little evaluation and say, Jesus, how are the fruit in my life? Are they wet? Are they withered? Have I maybe not watered them enough? Lord, what do I need to do? What are you speaking to me about tonight? Lord, help us to realize these are commands. And God, if we've stopped growing in our lives, help us, God. Help us to continue to grow as Christians. Help us to never get to a point where we're not growing. Lord, help us to never be satisfied right where we're at, God. And Lord, when the challenges of life come, and Jesus, there's things that try to hold us back from growing, and we get tired and we get weary, Lord, I pray we'd run to you, God, and not run away from you. Lord, help us to look at our lives so clearly. Lord, help us to take a picture of our lives and our heart, Jesus. And I pray, God, that tonight, Lord, your love would just permeate our hearts, God. Lord, your word says that love covers a multitude of sins. And Lord, tonight I know that as we're sitting here, your love has covered our sins. Lord, your love has covered our shortcomings. Lord, you died for us while we were yet sinners. And so, Jesus, I pray we'd extend that same kind of love to people in our lives. Lord, let that be a fruit, God, that would just be so alive. Lord, forgive us. Lord, forgive us for if we have allowed anything other than love to rule our hearts and rule our lives. Lord, some of us, we need to know what love looks like. Because for some, love has been something that has hurt them. So tonight I pray, God, that you would just rush in with your love. Rush in with your kindness. Rush in with your goodness, Lord. Rush in. Lord, you give us the example of what these fruits look like. Joy and peace and strength. And Lord, everything. God, break through to hearts tonight. If you're in this room and you say, Pastor, I've never given my life to the Lord and I want to do that tonight. I want to give you that opportunity and we're going to close. If you're here and you say, Pastor, tonight I need to give my life to the Lord. The Bible tells us we've all sinned. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God through his son Jesus is eternal life. And maybe you've walked away. Maybe tonight as I was sitting talking, you realize maybe I haven't ever experienced salvation. My life has never been transformed. And tonight I need to do that. The Bible says all we have to do is believe with our heart and confess with our mouth. That's you tonight. And you just say, I need to give my life to the Lord. That's you. Would you just slip up your hand? I want to give you just an opportunity. So listen, I think one other thing before we close. I want you to know I think we're a loving church. And I see so much good out of your lives as far as how you surround people and you love them. So tonight's message is not, I think we're in a bad spot. Tonight's message is, this is our evaluation piece moving forward for every day of our lives. You know what I'm saying? It's that point where God showed us and just goes, listen, run your life through this gamut. Run your life through this test every morning to say, how are you doing in that area? Because we can get so far off. But I am so proud of our church because I see the love. I mean, you just see people loving each other and wrapping, and I think it's just awesome. So I want to tell you that I see that fruit in our lives, and it's just awesome to be a part of a congregation that loves. And so I want to tell you that. Be encouraged that I think that God's doing great things, and I want you to know how much I love you, each one of you. I appreciate you. And so I want to pray a blessing, and then we're done. Jesus, thank you so much for every person here. Lord God, bless them tonight. Bless them more than what they could ever imagine. And Lord, I thank you for the incredible people, Lord God, that make up this church body. I pray you just encourage them. I pray you strengthen them, Lord. Thank you for the tools you've given us tonight. God, we love you. Help us to live like you, God, and put the world aside more than ever before. Jesus, be with us in your name. Amen. Have an awesome rest of the week. Thanks for being here.